Evening, everyone. I would like to call the December 13th, 2021 study session of the University City City Council to order. Before you, you have the agenda for our regular meeting, which begins at 6:30. Are there any changes to the regular agenda tonight? Hearing none, I know Mr. Rose and the police chief are going to be bringing us a report this evening. I know we all got our information ahead of time, so hopefully we'll be prepared for an engaging conversation. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, tonight we're asking you to receive two presentations. The first presentation deals with public safety notifications. Chief Hampton will share with you what our practice is for notifications and would ask that you provide any direction regarding potential changing of that practice. The second presentation Chief Hampton will provide us an update on the gunshot detection V5 system. Chief Hampton.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bear, council members, Mr. Rose, Ms. Reese. This presentation, I have it titled Crime Decoding. However, this is about notifications of pertinent crimes within our community. And specifically, we're talking about property crimes right now, because anything dealing with violence, murder, life, death situations, those notifications are emergency operations and ongoing. The property crimes is a different type of level. And you can see some of the volume of calls that we have here in University City. For 2020, outside in the St. Louis metropolitan area, outside of St. Louis County and St. Louis City, University City responds to the most call volume within our jurisdiction. That's because we respond to every call. We're all encompassing, whether that's fire, EMS, police, cat up the tree, whatever the case is, neighbor disturbances, whatever the totem is. You'll see a couple jurisdictions that have a similar volume of calls. However, they may have more citizens, more people that reside in the jurisdiction, maybe even a larger jurisdiction to govern. And you see the call for volumes comparative to University City. And these are just a few that I was able to pull out. Addressing the crime methods, we have a lot of trends. The daily, weekly, and routine basis that we provide the information to the officers, to the personnel, to the public safety mechanisms here in University City is very elaborate. We're streamlining every day. Sometimes we have rolling roll calls to where we literally are giving electronic information to share that information with the officers to make that change in that patrol habit. Six factors that slow down law enforcement investigations. And I mentioned this because of the notifications that have to occur. I have one PIO. That PIO is Captain Fred Lemons. I have one crime statistic or crime analyst. That is Ms. Donella Lane. Many other departments may have a unit. Let's use St. Louis County, for instance. Maybe a unit of 5 to 8 to handle that type of dissemination of information. As you can see, the caseloads, the volume of calls, the case screening, the policy on initiating investigations, cross-unit collaborations, community involvement, checklists of investigation process, and case review. Staged crime scenes. This is another thing that we deal with when we're talking about property crimes. Not every property crime is a legitimate property crime. That goes for WashU students as well. Sometimes they can fake a crime to look staged for insurance purposes, many other purposes for say, and we'll get into some of those in general. And when I say property crimes, I'm talking about crimes where not persons are injured, no one is held up, no one is robbed in that sense. So we're specifically talking about property and properties that pertain to the victim that's making the claim. false police reports. This is a major factor that slows down police investigations, police notifications, because when you hear me use the word vetting a crime, that's it, that is making sure that we have all the elements of a crime and that we're not seeing a staged crime scene, a false police report. I'll give you an example of a false police report, specifically with burglaries. Sometimes people will break their own window, but then we will see it's broken from the inside. That's something that, okay, that is an alert that officer sometimes has to pick up, but specifically is picked up by a supervisor or an investigator at a later stage. Reasons why people risk committing this crime is several reasons, whether it's tax deductions, whether it's defraud, insurance, claims, and many other of these that's explained through the text. Explaining the loss and theft of that, we have to disseminate that information after we know that this legitimate information. There's no information that we are holding on to that is life-threatening. If there's an imminent threat to the community, to the citizens, to the community that we serve, to the community that we live in, we're going to get that information out. It's a lot easier for other, and I'll get to that, it's a lot easier for other entities to disseminate information about a jurisdiction that they do not have to govern. I.e., let's utilize Washington University. They do not have to govern University City. So specifically, when they're sending out information strictly to their students, they're simply just trying to bring awareness to their students. I understand the awareness mechanism of that. We are sending that same information out, but in different mechanism methods, i.e., anything when we're talking about Ames Place, Parkview, other subdivisions, The subdivision trustees receive information from my crime analyst on a weekly basis. Also, that same information is posted on our University City website. That's the ucitymo.org. Those stats are updated weekly, and we try to maintain it. Now, if it's something that's dealing with life-threatening, like I say, that is something that is on an emergency basis, I will get a call, the captain will get a call, we will make that. It's almost like generating a press release. At that point, if there's something that's press worthy, is it something that's city official worthy, something that's citizens worthy, that is going to be disseminated on an as best time basis after we have vetted that information and after we have got the correct information on top of that. That has been the policy since I've been here for 26 years. I'm trying to make sure that we're addressing all crime trends and trying to address all community concerns in a timely basis. That is something that we do on duty, off duty, whenever the case is. Even when we're out of town, when I'm out of the office, we still receive notifications by way of email, by way of text messages. So if that's something that we see that a ball is not being picked up on, we make that phone call, we make that notification to our personnel to get that rectified. Now I have questions. I know I went through things pretty fast, trying to speed up and for a matter of time.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you. My first question is, I'd like to get a little more clarity on what the policy is related to communication. I would say first to the city manager on any kind of crime or that kind of thing, then to the mayor and council, and also to the public. Is that something that is a policy in writing?
You're saying, Councilman Hills, you're asking why I notify the city manager?
No, I'm saying is there a formal policy that provides the guidance as to specifically when what type of communication goes out and to who?
Is none written policy, is verbal and directive only. And that verbal directive has been newsworthy incidents, life-threatening incidents, emergency catastrophe incidents. We can take flooding, for example. That is something in real time in the middle of the night, that information needs to go out if citizens get displaced or what have you. But specifically, the amount of, and I can go back to, go back to the amount of calls that we have. A lot of these calls specifically are property issues. or alleged property issues. Now, after investigation, some of them may determine this was fraud, this was false, whatever the case is. So specifically, I couldn't give you a number today specifically on let's take burglaries for example. Burglaries is a lot more expansive than a robbery, meaning the amount of quantity that it occurs in this community. And because you're talking garage, you're talking about a detached garage, you're talking about, these are just per the code of statute for the Missouri, for the state of Missouri. So specifically, years ago, we used to be able not to count a detached garage as a burglary. But specifically when somebody leaves a garage open and it's detached from the house and somebody and the door's up and someone takes a bicycle out of there, that's now a burglary. So specifically those type of crimes were not being notified because we're talking about a property crime at a lower level.
Okay, so my next question is if we have an instance where we have a rash of crimes in a very specific area over a relatively short period of time, which in this example would include forced entries or entries into buildings and units that may have been left unlocked, windows, doors, while residents are home. Is that something that fits the need to, under this policy, to notify, certainly I think, the council members and the public?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Hales, I just want a point of clarification. I believe that Chief Hampton has indicated they don't have an actual policy. I believe what he is stating is the practice that's been in place. And so what we're trying to discern is whether that practice should change. So I don't know of any policy. I think that they leave it to the discretion of the likely commander that is on duty based upon the severity of the crime. Now, there are some that it's automatic. Let's say that there is a armed robbery or a, God forbid, a murder or something like that. I think that those things, it's pretty well known that there is going to be a notification that will occur. It's the lower level property crimes, I think, where it's not as certain what should be, when notification should take place.
Okay, well, I guess I will just say, I do think that's an example of, I would certainly want to have notification. I do think that in those instances, it would be helpful to notify the public. But if there are a lot of contacts that we have in neighborhoods that I don't, that go beyond, you know, Ames Place or Parkview or Rosedale Heights, that it may be helpful for us to help relay some of that information. So I
do want to add, even on burglaries in general, this information is disseminated on a weekly basis right now with a crime analyst in job. So when we say a rash of burglaries, we did not have a rash specifically of burglaries in there. When we say four in a matter of 4 or 5 months, we don't consider that a rash, but it does show us as a trend and trending in specific areas. But no, I understand what you're getting at, Councilmember Hales. And yes, if it's a life-threatening issue, we definitely want to disseminate that information. If it's a concern of the city officials, we want to make sure we try to disseminate that information as well.
Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Thank you, Chief Hampton, for your presentation. Had a couple of slides in there about, and we're actually looking at one now, staged crime scenes or misrepresented crime scenes. What percentage of the calls would you say fall into this category of staged or misrepresented crime scene?
I think there's an average on national level of almost 30% and more, but specifically here in University City, we haven't really broken that down to, because it's very hard to prove someone has staged a crime and false information given to us. Now, if I'll give you an example of a lot of staged crimes with property crimes when it comes to burglaries, contractors, when they say they left thousands of dollars worth of tools in an unlocked site of construction that wasn't secured, no way, no how, no surveillance, no lighting, no notification to the police, to the public safety mechanisms that say, hey, we have over $10,000 worth of equipment there. So sometimes can be an insurance write-off.
Okay, understood. The The other thing is, I think as it relates to communication, the police department is part of a larger issue regarding communication in the city. And what are the things, what are the occasions when the city should communicate issues, certainly crime being the most pressing, the most tactile to folks as to use a term. But I think we need to leverage whatever we're communicating, we need to leverage the social media tools that we have, I think probably more effectively than we do. I know the police department does have a presence on Nextdoor, which is great, but I think having someone come in and look potentially top to bottom at how we leverage social media tools, how we, you know, look at programs like other communities have, the school district has, where they text parents, those kinds of avenues, I think, would make what we do communicate more robust. And I think, to the city manager's point, it is the purview of the council to direct what should be, or the policy, the things, the criteria that the city manager should use to communicate. I don't know if we'll solve that here. So I don't know if we will need additional time to do so, because I do think the council probably does need to opine on when are the circumstances in which things should be communicated to the public. I think that would help. So thank you.
Understood, sir.
Ms. Klein.
Yeah, just in terms of, you talked about trends, watching trends and things like that, and reporting certain violent crimes immediately and things like that. Is there any mechanism in place to recognize patterns? You know, even they may be a lower grade offense, but something that the public would want to know, that there's a pattern in their neighborhood or in our city. You know, maybe it's car theft or something else. Is there a mechanism in place to recognize those patterns and then to report them specifically as patterns and not as incidents?
There's a lot of information that is not being tapped in and utilized, whether that's the social media aspect of it for weekly crime updates or for the webpage updates. The stats are current. They stay current as best we can with a one-person personnel, and understanding that a lot of our personnel are tapped to attend criminal exchange intelligence meetings, whether that's carjacking meetings, whether that's auto theft task force meetings, whether that's just burglary task force meeting. A lot of that got canceled during the COVID times and is now back open. Specifically, they became virtual during 2020, but now they're back in person. Whether that means us sharing information with as far west as O'Fallon PD, and I'm thinking of them because I know there was a notification of a criminal exchange meeting coming up this week for that my detectives and that personnel will be attending. Now, as far as the information that the public has access to, or that the public can call up anytime as well, our crime analyst, Ms. Danella Lang, she's willing to share specifically and to guide you through a navigation of our webpage if a person finds that difficult or not understanding how to tap the specifics of the stats. Those even the lower level crimes are put on that webpage on the crime statistics update. So specifically when we're talking about weekly updates and anything that occurs in University City specifically is managed and updated on the webpage.
Yes, Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Chief, for your presentation. And on your report, it says that in 2020, the emergency, non-emergency calls were approximately 83,000. That's 227 calls a day. How do you do that? Do you have enough staff to do that? That's 75 calls per 8-hour shift. So how do you do that? And do you have, I guess my question is, do you have enough staff? Are you fully staffed
I would say we're not fully staffed currently because of the, you know, the current trend that's going on in employment that we're trying to retain and recruit at a higher level, specifically with the millennials and the Gen Zers, the younger ages coming through and some of the retirements occurring, the attrition occurring. But I can say that we're still doing it effectively. We're still doing it manageably and more than efficient than any other jurisdiction than specifically that has that task. Now, what I can say is that a lot of the lower level incidents that tries to get displaced or that we can displace, we're trying new trends on that with the EMS, with the fire, with whatever the case, CIT and CIT crisis intervention, mental disturbance cases that all of our officers are tasked with being certified in that, in handling these type of calls.
Chief, if I could, I guess maybe I'm becoming more cynical, but I'm trying to understand the number of calls we have. And Councilmember Cusick went by the shifts in the number of calls per day. I'm kind of going by the number of calls per population and trying to discern whether or not we're calling things calls that the other cities don't call calls, or we're bringing in something because to the population base that we have versus particularly Florissant, which is a city that to me has a lot of the same background as us, I'm kind of a little bit perplexed at the number of calls per individual that we have.
I can say we're able to trim that. This includes self-initiated calls, whether a person is being stopped in a car, traffic calls, this also includes calls that we receive from citizens. This does not include an officer calling out at the school to do a walkthrough. This does not include an officer doing a business check at Walgreens. So we're specifically talking about calls to where a police report may be generated. We're strictly talking about calls to where a police report may possibly be generated.
No, I understand that. I'm still coming back to the question of, I'm just having a hard time putting my arms around the large number of calls we have based on our population versus the number of calls that Florissant has on theirs. And I'm trying to determine whether there's some other explanation for that, we're bringing something into our calculation that they're not bringing into theirs, or we've got a service that we provide that they don't provide, because otherwise I'm just not understanding the call volume difference between University City and Florissant.
And Mr. Mayor, I can add to that is with us being centrally located, centrally displaced with communities that may not have the resources that taps into like University City does, lots of times things are occurring on our border that bleeds over into University City. A second thing to that is the fact the calculus for years, we've always had more calls than Florissant. Now I can't explain why or that trend has been, but since being a commander back in 07, I know that we've had more calls than Florissant, Jennings. And like I say, specifically, I'm not going out further west past St. Charles, because I know St. Charles City, St. Charles County probably has a higher volume than University City, but specifically Jennings, Florissant, Maryland Heights, Chesterfield, these communities, and I don't know what they're using in their calculus, but I know within our calculus, we're using only incidents that may determine to be a police report.
No, and I respect that, and I know that the challenges that the communities around us sometimes provide to us, but I think Florissant probably does as well. That's the only thing I'm just trying to get to is, if we're going to compare communities, then I would think that we want to make sure that the stats that we are comparing are apples to apples, and I'm just not sure that that's what we're doing here. I think I've sort of made my point. I'm okay with it. It's just I'm trying to, something's not quite fitting here. So, but I appreciate it. Mr. City Manager.
Honorable Mayor, I think that we can certainly delineate the what's included in our statistics so that it's clear to everyone, you know, what calls are being identified here. We can work to try and get Florissant if we can have them provide what the calls are as well. And then we're talking about areas to ensure that we're matching up.
One quick thing I want to add is that I know the Florissant does not have their own fire and EMS, I believe. I think they only have police forces or what have. I think they have a community, a fire district, if I'm not mistaken.
So are you saying, though, that ours includes fire calls and theirs likely does not?
That's correct. I think I don't know about theirs, but I know ours does. Fire, EMS calls, CIT calls. Yes.
Honorable Mayor, Chief Hampton, I think explaining that issue that our police dispatch to all of the fire calls as well. So that's why that may be an impact. For us, we'll still need to do the due diligence to determine if that is fact. But at this point, this is what we're speculating.
Yes, sir.
Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Chief Hampton, for providing us information. I just want to, so if I'm looking at the weekly crime report, the most recent one is November 21st to 27, 2021. And when you open it up, it tells us that there was an arrest. It's an arrest summary, and it lists the number of adults, juveniles, and summons, and then it lists one specific crime and the basically the block it was in and what it was. So if, and I'm kind of working with Mr. Hales on this, if we're looking at something where a citizen wants to kind of see where a trend might be, that's not giving a whole heck of a lot if that was what their weekly summary was. And if you go back, you know, the next week it does, it's still listed arrests, but it only lists four crimes specifically where you can tell what was going on. You can read it. Or is the better place for our residents to kind of look is at the crime statistics to see trends. That there's a crime statistics page that then breaks it out by different territories, Northwest region. If you click on that, you'll get a PDF. It starts out as a pie chart, but then if you click by month, you'll get a better breakdown. I'm just trying to see what, you know, when we're communicating these kind of things and residents, if because of investigation issues, you can't get stuff out quicker because you want to make sure you got it right before you send these things out. Which one is you know, is there a better way for us to go through those web pages so citizens can kind of pick up on what's going on? Because I get that you want to make sure you have a good basis for the report you're making so that citizens can rely on it. But at the same time, citizens are expecting a little bit of a heads up when there's a trend that they might be able to pick up on. So I'm trying to figure out, maybe we need to review our websites and how they're presented so that residents can maybe get a better idea of what's going on.
Councilman McMahon, I understand. I understand the concerns. For a couple of years now, we've been looking at probably a different type of web setup, but there's a very extensive approach for the entire city because our web page is attached to the ucitymo.org, which is a city maintained database. So it is a more expansive, but the region, the crimes by region is a more a better depiction of crime in your zip code, in your street, on your area specifically.
And I think if we go in and if we want to review, I think those two, the weekly report and the crime statistics, I think the crime statistics, there'll be a lag. So a current trend, our residents might not be able to use the website for it. So we might need to, as Jeff was saying, kind of review that policy to see if there's ways to identify trends, even if they're not the most serious crimes, but trends. You know, I tend to see with car break-ins, they can tend to go in waves and residents want to hear about it. Is that the most serious crime we face in U-City? Probably not. But that's kind of, so we've got to, I think we just have to balance between getting that information out sooner, how to access it, and then the more serious crime. But I'm glad you helped me identify which report was easier to get to. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor. Just very quickly, just so I'm clear to the mayor's earlier point, the numbers that are presented for comparison with other communities, ours include fire and other rescue, emergent rescue situations, health situations, medical situations. Florissant in Maryland Heights may not.
Understand, may not. That's correct.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but I'm just, that's something that I know ours does. Ours is inclusive of that effort.
Okay.
Because we respond to every call.
And you had mentioned, you had mentioned police reports being made as a standard for counting something as a call. So police reports are made when an ambulance is deployed.
No, the police report, we could receive a call as a sick case call, and it turns out to be an assault case. And we can receive a call as an accidental injury, and it turns out to be a common assault, a DV assault. So specifically, it may come in as a fire EMS situation or a call for a fire, and it can be an arson. That's criminal in nature. So we're not talking about accidental in nature. So specifically, the police are the one, our response time is under 3 minutes. You're talking 2.3 with the jurisdiction with the base of 6.1 square miles for University City. So we have a very efficient response time, and we try to enhance that as much as we can.
Okay. But we will get numbers that are police calls specifically to compared to other police calls specifically. We can get that for
we can try to set that up. Yes, correct. We have that's inclusive on the other jurisdictions cooperating.
Sure. Okay. Okay. I think I understand.
I believe in the interest of time, we probably need to conclude the study session, and we'll pick up at one of our next meetings. In our January meeting with the chief. Chief, thank you very much for coming. We appreciate all you and everybody who's in the room do to keep our community safe. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
If everyone is ready, we will adjourn the study session and stay seated and then move forward with the regular session.